What's your favorite scary cocktail?
If you've been searching for the perfect way to elevate your horror movie nights, look no further. Cocktails from the Crypt is here to satiate even the most bloodthirsty killers with a collection of chilling cocktail recipes. Created by us, your favorite podcasters and all-around weirdos, this horror movie cocktail recipe book is packed with movie trivia, cocktail tips, and hair-raising drinks crafted to pair seamlessly with the most iconic movies the horror genre has to offer.
Cocktails from the Crypt features 60 sinister sips, each designed to transport you into the heart of your favorite horror films, including the Texas Chainsaw Margarita, Freddy's Boilermaker, and the Frankenstein Fizz.
Don't miss your chance to be among the first to own this ultimate horror movie night companion. Pre-order Cocktails from the Crypt now from your favorite retailer, like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Bookshop.org, Chapters Indigo, and Blackwell's. Or just head to nofspodcast.com/go for the links.
And don't forget to follow Nightmare on Film Street on social media for sneak peeks and behind-the-scenes glimpses from the making of Cocktails from the Crypt.
Join us!
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome back to Nightmare on Film Street, horror for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And we fucked up this week, guys.
No, we didn't.
We totally fucked
no,
up.
No, we didn't.
We're currently, we're in the middle.
We're just bending the rules a smidge.
We're closing out our summer of 78 double feature, talking about movies released in the summer of 1978.
Or that emulate the vibes of the summer of 78.
It's always fun to bend the rules when you realize you've made a big boo-boo.
I mean, we totally could be doing Piranha right now, and we could have done the hard shift to correct, but we're not going to do that.
No, not at all. Because we've got this other movie that we watched that we think perfectly encapsulates the summer of 1978, despite being released in October on television.
Okay. But the film is called The Summer of Fear.
Alternate title, Stranger in Our House. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, that was what it was released as on TV. But when it got its theatrical release, It was called The Summer of Fear.
Yeah, this movie did eventually hit movie theaters internationally. Probably, hopefully, in the summer.
Of Fear.
of 79, yes. But it's directed by Wes Craven. And up until about 5 minutes ago, we thought it was a drive-in movie that you maybe possibly would have seen with Jaws 2.
You know, it's fine. We play it fast and loose here at Nightmare on Film Street, and I just feel like this is an appropriate film for us to be talking about. It's got Linda Blair, post-Exorcist 2, The Heretic. It's got lots of horse horror. Made for TV cuts with the black, like cut to black, and then we're in a different scene entirely. I just love it so much. I think those were my three good things.
I'm going to tack on Fran Drescher.
Yes, a surprise friend of from Fran Drescher.
Yeah, 1978's Fran Drescher. Yeah, no, this was a surprising watch. Apparently also the first movie that Wes Craven directed after moving to California. So we could, despite being a television movie, we're going to say his first Hollywood movie.
And it's so summery in California. It just fits.
It totally works. Yeah, like I couldn't imagine watching this on television in October. It seems like the wrong move. They should have released it theatrically in 1978. And also in a world where we're all just retconning the past, fuck it. In now, the agreed upon canon of Nightmare on Film Street is that this movie was released theatrically in 1978. Everything else about our real world is accurate except this one detail. We are now living in a subjective reality that we both agree on.
I don't know why you're so hung up on this thing. I'm already past it. It's called Summer of Fear. We did great. Is there anything else you can say that would maybe sell this movie? Because I don't know if like you, I didn't know anything about this movie before we started. I was looking for 1978 films. Yep. I found this one and I was like, yo, we got to watch this. And we're doing it on the podcast. And Jill's like, but Piranha. And I was like, no, shut up.
We're
doing
gonna
Summer
Piranha.
Of Fear.
We're going to get
Linda
Piranha
Blair.
One day. Yeah, I honestly thought Jaws 2 and Piranha. This is a lock. I'll finally get Kim to talk about Joe Dante's Piranha. But no, like I think this is a good movie. We've already done it.
I feel like we've already done it.
Anyway, this was a good pick from Kim. This is a classic Kim movie. Kim loves a made-for-TV vibe, whether or not it's actually made for TV. It's very young adult. It's a young adult novel adapted by Wes Craven. Actually, it's written by the same woman
that wrote I Know What You Did Last Summer. You stole my fact, John. That was the only fact I brought to this podcast, and I was so proud of it.
I was ready to throw the trailer. And you were like, you got anything else you want to tell people about this movie before we talk about it?
Yeah, that's a real fun fact, though. Like,
it's a fucking real fun
great.
Fact. Yeah, you like young adult horror thrillers. You like I Know What You Did Last Summer. You got to check out The Summer of Fear. And this is the summer to do it.
Linda Blair in Summer of Fear. A terrifying journey into witchcraft and the occult. The summer began like any other until the arrival of Julia.
Rachel, you remember Julia?
Hi, Julia.
Julia is a witch. She is some kind of a witch.
Was it jealousy or was there more?
Bill, out of your head.
You're not my cousin, Julia. Who are you?
Using a wax figure, can one person control another person's mind?
Alone, Rachel struggles to prove her nightmare a reality. A Summer of Fear. A frightening encounter with the supernatural. A Summer of Fear.
The Summer of Fear, directed by Wes Craven, is currently sitting at a 5.4 out of 10 on IMDb. an audience rating of 32% on Rotten Tomatoes because critics don't review TV movies.
Maybe it's all the incest.
It might have something to do with that. And a 2.8 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Yeah, let's not bury the lead on this one. This is the height of 1970s incest horror. And we're all gonna fuck a 17-year-old horror. A girl loses her parents, moves in with her cousin, and everybody...
First cousin. Mom's sister's kid.
And everybody wants to fuck her. Linda Blair's boyfriend, Linda Blair's brother, Linda Blair's dad.
The horse.
Everybody's after this girl.
I mean, the horse wants to fuck her up, but...
Yeah.
Because Sundance knew better.
It's not as sick and gross as that. I mean, it is.
It's very PG incest, but it still fucking makes your skin crawl.
Yeah, like, let's not forget this was made for TV. You know, like, they're not... It's not a full Lolita story or something, but it's... Weird. It's very, and it's like
even the softest of softcore incest is still incest.
It's a classic young adult setup. Like, a relative comes to live with you for the summer. How many books have you read by Christopher Pike or whoever about that? Like, somebody comes to stay with you, and you're the only person that can tell something's wrong with them.
Oh, 100%. Like, it's this story through and through, and it doesn't necessarily deviate from it. So if you're going into it thinking you're going to get a surprise or a twist on that story, it doesn't really deliver on that front. It's just really fun because Linda Blair is amazing in it.
Linda Blair's hair is amazing.
Linda Blair is serving in this. She is going all out. Every single scene, she's screaming at somebody. She's yelling. She's stomping her feet. She is in full gaslit mode.
She's a teenage tornado in this movie. Yeah.
She's a total teenage tornado.
Every fucking movie we watch with Linda Blair, though, is something about horses. Even in The Exorcist, you don't see horses. It's like, oh, the horses were so beautiful, Mom.
Okay, I actually have a fact maybe you don't know. The reason why it's horses in this movie is because of Linda Blair.
No way.
In the novel, it was actually her dog. Like, this whole thing happened with her dog.
Okay.
But Linda Blair at the time, I think she was just coming off of, like, a year she had taken off in between, I think it was Exorcist 2 to this.
Uh-huh.
And
was it for shock, for nerves?
She took a year off for nerves? No, she was doing, like, equestrian competitions.
This isn't the standard actor takes a year off thing. Okay.
Under a pseudonym.
Oh,
like,
no,
she was doing it. Maybe she did need to take a year off, but she wanted to, like, do some normal life stuff.
Did she also have prosthetics on? Like, she got a big nose and a mustache.
And Judy, with the rather large schnoz, is doing great over there on the field.
Okay, so she used her star power to rewrite the script so she could be on a horse for half the movie. I love that.
I mean, like, I'm gonna say it here first. We need more horse girl horror.
Horse girl horror.
Yes.
Okay. Have you seen Horse Girl? Do you remember the movie Horse Girl?
More Horse Girl horror.
Yeah? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Horse girls are fucking crazy.
Tell me more.
They're just crazy.
Okay.
They're wild and untamed.
Like the horse. Okay, this sounds like bro logic. Like, yo, those horse girls, you gotta stay away from those horse girls,
I think
bro.
It is bro logic, but I still want more horse girl horror.
Okay, I mean, I would think...
And Linda Blair is our champion. She is like the OG horse girl horror. She was like, Exorcist, horse talk. This movie, full out horse, like, horse subplot.
Guys, Kim is a horse girl in this episode, I just want to say. She's a horse girl as a talent who's talking in the microphone. She's a horse girl as a producer. She picked a movie no one's ever heard of, a horse girl move, if you ask me. And she's sitting over here trying to pitch me a legacy sequel to the horse girl movie Summer of Fear.
I don't even think I've ever touched a horse. Oh, no, I have touched a horse. We were at that carnival, and they just had it in, like, the smoking section.
Yeah, that was weird. We just were hanging out with the people who were working
at
a Halloween
haunt.
And
he was all drugged up because they were doing his shoes.
Yes. Yeah. He was drooling. He was sleepy. Whatever. Farm
and he
stuff.
Was like, sup. It was like that 70s show where you go around in a circle.
And one of them's a horse. We did smoke a lot of weed with those Halloween haunt workers, actually. This totally checks
and
out.
And a really stoned horse. Not like the horse wasn't doing weed. It was for his shoes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so the movie, wow, like, I can't imagine what this movie would have looked like without the horse stuff, because there's
it's
a
very
whole,
key.
Half the movie is her prepping for a horse competition.
And the horse dance.
The horse dance, going to the horse competition, the horse getting put down because the witch fucks it up at the horse competition. What would they have done with the dog? Like, was she training a dog in the book?
Maybe it was a dog show.
Dog? Okay. Yeah, maybe.
Poor Sundance. Sundance deserved better. Wait, let's go back to you calling me a horse girl.
I just, you're bringing a wild, untamed energy to this episode, is all I'm saying.
I just think it's an original animal. I don't know. I don't, like, why don't we have more, you know, like, equestrian camping horrors? We have so many
what if
they are riding the horse out into the middle of nowhere and there's no roads, there's only the horse. But then when that, that's inviting the horse to get hurt, though.
That's a move you can't really do in movies in general. You can't hurt dogs, can't hurt horses. Everybody's learned that lesson, and I love it when people cross that line.
Yeah, they fucking somersaulted Sundance in this, and I was not into it. And whoever was, hopefully was a stunt person, because I don't know if Linda Blair is able to withstand the weight of the horse. I don't know if you saw this, but when they fell down into, like, the ditch, the horse did a full-out somersault on top of the girl riding it.
Oh, wow.
Like, fell on her. And they were like, we'll just use that cut. Just, you know, somebody got really hurt, so we're going to honor you, we're going to use that cut.
You know, there's a long, storied, dark history of getting horses to do tricks that we don't really do a lot of anymore, and maybe that's why we don't have as much horse horror, because, yeah, like, you have to put the horse in danger, and a lot of the times getting horses to do somersaults and stuff is really just, like, burying a rope in the ground that they can't see and getting them to run.
Okay, can you not? Can you not?
Just, like, you know, if you go back and watch Wild West movies from the 40s and 50s, it's not an era known for animal rights.
Okay, well, I'm talking about modern day horse horror with the health department doing horse wellness checks.
The health department.
Like, the health.
We're here to do a wellness check on your department. Horse. The Bureau of Equestrian Affairs.
But despite not liking that weird somersault into the ditch, that was Sundance's big death scene because Sundance broke her?
His
yeah. leg. That's a very androgynous name. Sundance? It could, okay, whatever.
Once again, Kim has not watched Western movies. She's clearly not seen Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. The Robert Redford classic film.
So you can't call Girl Sundance after Sundance Kid?
Kim, do you know why the Sundance Film Festival is called the Sundance Film Festival? It's because of that character. That's how big that fucking movie was.
Oh.
It's Paul Newman and Robert Redford. This is a horror movie podcast. I shouldn't get into it.
Okay. But anyway, Sundance's death scene. Great acting on that horse.
Yeah. No, he's a star.
Like, was full out lying on the ground like, oh, my leg is broke. You all have to mercy kill me now.
Isn't that the fucking funniest thing?
Like, can't the horse just retire?
Yeah, can't we just bandage it up?
Can't we put the horse on a cart for once and take it home?
Yeah, let's just get it fat and let it hang out for the rest of his life. Like, nah, the horse would want this. The horse is a perfectionist. We must destroy him.
He's suffering.
Good stuff. Yeah. No.
Like, fine. If he can never use the leg again, make him one of those cute wheelbarrow things that dogs have when they only have three legs and they want a fourth one. So they can wheel around the yard.
Yeah. I mean, I'm for it. I'd take a three-legged horse, bring him to my house.
Yeah. If I could afford a three-legged horse, I would absolutely have a three-legged horse.
Yeah. We say that, but I don't know if
I braid
ever
his
seen...
tail for him.
Okay. And you'd become a horse girl.
And put butterfly clips in it. And I tell it horror stories.
Okay, believe it or not, this is a movie about a witch. 15 minutes in, all we've done is talk about a horse. Yeah, it's a movie about a witch. A girl comes to live with Linda Blair. She's her cousin. She's now an orphan. And her family, out of the goodness of her heart, are going to take her in.
Because dad wants to fuck her.
And yeah, that's the movie. And this woman just starts to just destroy Linda Blair's life. She's casting spells on her in her own bedroom and doing nothing to hide it.
Yeah, she's like making spell garbage, not throwing it out.
Mm-mm, not
at
all.
Just tucking it in drawers.
Yeah, just leaving it out for everybody to see. Just like, oh, what's that? Big dance coming up and you've sewn your own dress? I'm gonna make you ugly. I'm gonna cast spells to give you boils. Like the biggest zits you've ever seen.
Yeah, like the doctor's like, never seen this before. And you're like, you're not even giving it a diagnosis.
We've gotta put her down. Just like Sundance. It's tragic, but it must be done.
Don't let Mike see her in this state. Mike's her boyfriend.
Yeah, Mike's her boyfriend. The only character in this movie that everybody's hornier for than Cousin Julia is Linda Blair's boyfriend, Mike.
And he's also the only one not committing incest in this movie.
He still also was. He completely ditches Linda Blair for this girl.
Yeah, no, he does. But at least he's not related to her. He's the only suitor not related to her.
That's true. It's the only one allowed. Dick move, but...
Total dick move.
Allowed.
Especially,
legal.
And he tells Linda Blair the morning of her competition, he's like, it was just a thing and it just happened. We can be friends, though. And she's like,
God,
what? Right? Fuck you. You're never getting near this perm again, bitch.
Her cousin even goes to the barber to get the same haircut as Linda Blair.
Yeah.
It's truly evil. Even so, we meet Fran Drescher, who's a good friend of Linda Blair. We meet Fran Drescher's character, who's a good friend of Linda Blair's character. I like to believe that they got mimosas at, you know, like while filming. They were probably good friends. And even she's just like, I don't know about this girl. Like, she's nice and all, but also she's overstepping her boundaries. I've known her for 30 seconds and I don't like the cut of her.
Fran Drescher can spot a fake one. So while we're talking about Julia casting weird ass spells, so there is a big dance that's before the horse competition. We hear all about it because Linda Blair's...
We do not go to this dance.
Because Linda Blair's incesty brother, Tom, his band is there and he really, really wants Julia to see his band. Really, really wants her to see his band. So Linda gets her spelly boils and she cannot go. And so everybody's like, oh, let's let your boyfriend take Julia. And that's how she steal-a-roos the boyfriend.
Her mom's logic there was so crazy, too, where she's like, oh, you spent 2 weeks making this dress. You wouldn't want it to go to waste. You might as well let your cousin wear it and then also take your boyfriend.
Yes. So where's the dress that she made from fucking scratch?
Yeah.
The thing about this, and I think this is the most dastardly thing.
Kim is pointing.
In the whole damn plot is that Linda Blair is making this dress and it looks like shit on her.
It looks
like she's wrapped in a towel. Like, it doesn't fit her.
It doesn't
look great.
No.
It's just like, you know, a wet bag. And then Julia puts on the dress and it's an entirely different dress. It's gorgeous.
It's a completely different fabric.
It's form-fitting. It's got like a nice little bust thing sewn onto it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, she's stunning. It's great.
Okay. I think Julia fucking put a spell
you think
on...
she cursed the dress?
No, I think she cursed Linda Blair to make a dress for her. I think the dress was always for her.
No.
Yes. Yes. So when her parents, when Linda Blair's... Let me go back. Let me do this fresh. Linda Blair and Julia are not getting along. Her mom's like, oh, go move in with your little brother Bobby. And she's like, what the fuck? So she does. And while she's moving her clothes out, Julia's like, oh, leave that dress. Like, you won't wear it again. And she's like, I made this for me. And she says something along the lines of like, oh, did you really? Yeah.
You don't think she's just being a
she
bitch?
She is
you
being.
You don't think she's being a bitch?
She's being a total bitch, but she can also do magical spells.
Okay. So for a second there,
planned it all along.
I thought you were going to say maybe it was something more of like a... mirage type thing. Like, what's the term? Where there's... She's making everybody see her ugly in the dress. Like, maybe she looks great. Maybe Linda Blair looks awesome in the dress, but we all see her. Her, and including Linda Blair, see her as ugly.
I mean, that's also a possibility, but it's not as devious as fucking, you know, knowing that you're going to get somebody sick so they can't go to the dance. You're going to steal their boyfriend and their dress, and you have them make the dress fit you.
You know what I like even more than that, actually?
She was making that dress for weeks!
Is a blend of the two, where the dress is actually still ugly, but she's casting her witchy powers so everybody thinks she looks beautiful.
Oh, so she's mirage beautiful.
Yeah, like if we caught a glimpse of her, it'd be like seeing the reflection of that old lady in the shining mirror, where it's like she's actually truly hideous. She's got a giant, you know, witchy nose and a boil on it. She's craggly old skin and gross hair, and she's wearing Linda Blair's frumpy dress, but everybody's like, oh my god, just picture, she's beautiful, she's great.
Like a glove.
Yeah. We might be too old for free candy, but we're not gonna let that stop us from having a ghoul time. This October, we're playing Trick or Treat with the Spirits of Halloween over in the Nightmare on Film Street Fiend Club at Patreon.
Each week, we're going to be pulling movies at random from our spooky trick-or-treat basket. It's a Halloween boo bucket from McDonald's. And we're either going to be given a treat, that's a horror movie we really want to talk about, or a trick, a horror movie we hoped we'd never have to discuss in public.
Join us as we let the spirit of Halloween take the wheel and play Trick or Treat with the Nightmare on Film Street podcast. You can find those episodes only at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub.
Or patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
So either way, Julia is evil.
Yes. So we also find out that she can't, this is a cool little wrinkle, and like, I don't know if this is
this movie is like making up its own witch lore, and I commend it.
Yeah, so we thought for a lot of the movie that she was a succubus. It's like classic sort of evil vampire type demon succubus. Maybe we're a little tainted from having covered Wes Craven's Deadly Blessing earlier this year, which is very much a...
The succubus!
Incubus, I believe, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, but they do call
them... Isn't the incubus a boy succubus? Didn't we research this?
Yeah, which, oh man, wouldn't that have been a great double bill if this was a succubus and that was an incubus? That's the original Barbenheimer.
I mean, she is still kind of a succubus.
A little bit.
She succubuses her life.
Yeah, she
succubi her life.
She, like a vampire, doesn't cast a reflection. Now, it's not like every time she goes near a mirror, like a vampire, you can't see her in the mirror, but... it's sort of an illusion where she's making you believe that you can see her reflection.
Which is why your dress theory may hold some weight.
Right? She's got rose-colored curses on everybody's eyes, mm-hmm. right? So,
which, this fact comes from Rachel, Linda Blair's old neighbor, who is just a witchcraft specialist. She's like, hey, my anthropologist teacher, can you tell me about witchcraft? He's like, here's some books from my trunk that are all about witchcraft.
He's great. I love that guy. He's... just like, oh, you should meet our neighbor, total like a master of the occult. It's like, oh yeah, we're not gonna come back here later. Yeah, he's just pulling books out of his trunk, handing it to her.
He already knows what Julia is from that first meeting. He's like giving her the up and down. He's like, y'all smell like a witch.
Y'all smell like a witch. I'm sure I'll have a stroke later before I have a chance to warn anyone about this. I would love to get your opinion on whether or not anybody actually sees. Like, does she take the appearance of the people that she's mimicking? Because we learn through a series of letters that she's receiving from other people around the country and just, like, from the more digging that Linda Blair is doing on, like, Linda Blair's Rachel is doing on Julia's backstory. Like, you know, sort of just, like, trying to find holes in what she's telling the family. That she has sort of... taken over several people's lives.
Yeah, I don't know if she has to, because there's a whole point made in this movie that they haven't seen Julia for like 10 years. So yes. They wouldn't know what she looks like.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, because when she shows up, it's like, oh, hey, here's your cousin Brad. But, last time we saw you, he wasn't even born yet.
Yeah, and then, but at the end of it, when she's fully, like, in full witch finale mode, she looks like a fucking witch. Well, and she looks fantastic.
She looks really cool.
Like, her perm gets frizzier, her eyes get all, like, white and red.
And she's driving a car
and
around
she's like
a crazy
person.
Yeah,
going full Cruella de Vil in that
car. Yeah.
It's wonderful. And you're like, okay, is this her natural, like, is this what she looks like? Is
but
this
she still
her
looks
un-
like, she still looks like Julia, just with weird eyes.
Yeah, but maybe that's like, you know how, say in like Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
uh-huh.
like Angel looks like Angel, but when like he's in vampire mode,
he's
he
just
gets
got
like
horns.
That weird eyebrow thing.
Oh yeah, not horns.
So like
yeah.
maybe that's like there's witch Julia and then like pretty facade witch Julia.
So you think that she's... classic witch taking over this girl's skin kind of thing.
Like no, I think that's just what she looks like. I don't okay. think, I think she's finding people, like family she can take over or move in with where she doesn't have to even put that much effort in.
Yeah, because there's a real throwaway piece of dialogue where she says that she was her family's...
maid?
Maid, yeah. Like, so she, like, infiltrated the family, got everybody killed, and then took the identity of, I guess, her dead cousin. Because that's...
yep.
They never explore that. Like, chances... it sounds like the entire family's dead.
Well, yeah. Yes.
I just wonder... I'd love to find out whether or not people actually saw... evil witch girl or not, like if what they're looking at is sort of a mirage, like if they were able to get a photograph of her, whether or not they'd see craggly old stereotypical witch or not.
I think if they were able to, they would see what she looks like in the finale of the movie. No, like just, they would see the eyes.
Yeah, and like, oh my god, this version of Julia's got frizzier hair and weird cool eyes.
This one's hotter.
She looked That's fucking funny.
I mean, she does get real hot at the end.
Yeah, it's so similar to the vampire stuff too. Like the whole third act of the movie is, or at least a big chunk of the third act is Linda Blair trying to get her mom, who's a professional photographer, to take a photograph of Julia because she can't be photographed. There's an incredible line from the professor.
Oh, the best lore of the film.
That a machine or a mechanism doesn't have a mind that you can manipulate, a mind you can confuse or control. So it's an unbiased observer.
Yeah, like it can't be coerced into seeing or believing that she's there.
Which is so great. Like, that's one of the cool things about this movie and some TV movies, especially lower budget indie stuff. Maybe it's just because they didn't want to tip too far into, like, super scary, spooky horror things. But there are incredible ideas and concepts in here. And if you're not paying attention, like, it's just one little line of dialogue that just goes away into the air.
Yeah, and I think the horse is dead at that point, so like, who's still watching?
You think everybody's changed the channel? Or like, I can't, oh, not on Halloween night, oh god,
no Sundance, I'm out.
But yeah, the movie's kind of chaos. Like the end of the end classic reveal, like, oh, there's a bit of a fake out where we think that that Julia has killed Linda Blair's mom because she's decided to go off on a photography trip by herself after a huge fight with her daughter. And nobody can get a hold of her. Nobody knows where mom is. And
then we find a singed old witchy map where she's definitely been doing a spell to knock mom off a cliff.
Yeah, the whole family's gathered around this map 10 minutes prior to be like, yep, this is where mom's gonna go. She's gonna follow this little route, this bendy path around a mountain. Hopefully she's not driving too fast and doesn't fall off the cliff, am I right?
They call that Dead Man's Peak.
Which, I gotta say, not a cool move if this little girl's family just died doing the exact same thing.
True.
Like, hey, would you like to relive some of your most recent traumas?
Are you afraid of cliffs? Well, here's one.
But mom's obviously like at her wit's end because like she's having a fight with her daughter because her daughter's just like not accepting her cousin and just like causing shit around the house. Like, god damn it, I know we had to kill your horse, but could you please just like not ruin the rest of this summer for the whole family?
Well, and it's not just normal stuff like she's a bitch and she stole my boyfriend and my dress. She's like, she is the spawn of Satan.
She's going
she's
all out.
She's evil.
I think mom just is trying to ignore it because she has totally seen her husband flirting with this 17-year-old niece of his. They're both in the fridge like, oh, would you like to have some late night fruit? Ooh, this is so delicious.
Gross.
It's very gross, but she doesn't
gross.
Do anything about it. Oh, it's just a shame, I suppose.
Yeah, and then one, two, skip a few, Julia tries to kill Rachel.
Don't you love it when a reviewer just one, two, skip a few? Isn't it? It's such a power to hold over a movie.
Don't you feel like we one, two, skip a few, though?
The movie really does one, two, skip a few. I think it's in the commercial break.
Oh, true.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Fade to black, fade back. Evil Julia.
Julia's chasing us down the road. We got a runaway car. There's a whole bunch of nightmare sequences.
Oh, we're missing the sequence where, like, Dad is a hypnotized goon.
Oh, I'd forgotten about
trying
that.
To get Rachel. That was in the skip a few.
Yeah, goddamn. It's so weird that you just watched a movie and it just evaporates from your brain, almost like a witch cast a spell on you.
Oh, yeah. There was the old incest slave. Forgot about that.
throughout the movie, though, we have like these series of nightmares that are kind of replaying the opening of the movie where Julia's parents die. And we're from the point of view of like the front of a car. And we're just sort of like careening down a mountain path. And so Linda Blair is starting to have some of those nightmares, which is how she thinks that her mom is dead. And then we...
So she rounds up Dud Mike.
And the two of them go toe-to-toe against this crazy witch.
And there's a full-out car chase. Like, the witch is, like, trying to run them off the road, and she's doing a great job.
Yeah, no, this TV movie money used to be real money.
Yeah, she's fucking bewitching their car. She's rolling up the window, so I guess they can't hop out.
Yeah, that's fun.
She's pushing down the gas pedal. They can't, fiddle with the gears. Nothing is working. And she's just trying to run them off the road.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's great.
Yeah, it's great. Doesn't really work. You know, she,
what? Oh no! Like what she does doesn't work. I thought you were like as a film it doesn't work. I'm
oh
like,
no!
What
yeah,
are
no,
you
the
talking
movie,
about?
The movie's great. Yeah, I had a lot of fun watching it. But yeah, I mean, they get out alive. They don't find Julie's body after a car accident. And but they're just like, well, thank God she's gone.
Yeah, everybody just like claps the dust off their knees and goes home.
Yeah, like, oh, we're no longer bewitched, and I guess we don't have to address all the weird incest we all almost did, eh?
Which is actually a scene that happens. They're all standing outside the house. There's a cop there that was like, guess that evil maid was just, you know, squatting with you guys for a bit. Anyways, I'm off. And then Dad's like, isn't that weird how I don't remember what happened last week?
By the way, here's another horse. Sorry we had to kill the other one. This one's a baby.
Hmm. We still remember Sundance.
Yeah, and of course, classic fade out on the witch going to a new house with a new identity and a new family to begin the cycle again.
So what's fun and interesting about that is that she's being a governess, mm-hmm. which is maybe most popularized by The Turning of the Screw.
Oh, sure.
So I think it's just like a literature homage, because I was going to mention this at the top of the show, but we were...
Too interested in horses?
Yeah. That this story, I think, and now I'm not getting this from anywhere but my own brain,
mm-hmm.
There's a really old vampire story called Carmilla. Came out, I think, like 25 years before Dracula came out. And it's about this female vampire that comes to stay with a young girl after there's a carriage accident outside of her house.
Mm.
And she's a vampire and is like, you know, eating her slowly.
Fuck me, man.
Yeah. I mentioned this, I think, in one of our Patreon Graveyard Smash episodes. We were talking about The Daughter of Dracula, because that film also took inspiration, you know, like, we were talking about, like, the origin of, like, lesbian vampirism, and this was... This is credited as the very first one, and it's
interesting.
Fucking old.
And so maybe it's just because of the time that they were like, ooh, no, we got to get a little more occulty with this. We got to make her a witch. If we try and make her a vampire, then we can't do the loose succubus rule vampire
thing.
Well,
and also it's the summer of fear, and you need to be out in the sunshine, you know what I mean? So I think they needed her to be... like a daytime evil player.
Yeah. Okay.
But they did keep some vampire-ish lore. Like the mirror stuff seems very vampire-ish. So I feel like there's a strong tie to the Carmilla story there.
I think you're really onto something.
Especially because that carriage accident.
Yes, that's what I'm like, oh my God, you know what the modern carriage is, right, Kim?
It's a vehicle. You're like, it's a Sundance.
What a fun, kooky movie. We gotta really actually commit to doing like a series of TV.
I would love
TV
to do
movies,
more
right?
TV horror. And in fact, there is a Halloween one we should do in October.
Oh, what's that?
I think Night of the Scarecrow.
Oh, yeah.
Is a TV movie.
Hell yeah.
And I don't know if either of us have like committed to fully watching it. So I think it would be a great October movie.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. The TV movie is like such an era, because now the Netflix original is essentially the TV movie, and they're not the same at all.
They're not designed with those like 5-minute scenes, you know what I mean? That they end on a beat, like a cliffhanger, and then they come back and we're in a different scene entirely.
Well,
like,
it's also the limitations where you're just like, okay, this is going to be on television. You can't get away with everything, but you still want to be dark and scary and tell the story you wrote. So you've got limitations that you have to, like, there's a sandbox that you have to play in.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them get crazy dark, but it's all that sort of like stuff implied, things seen and unseen. So like it's some horror movies play really well on having limited resources and things you can and can't do. And that's what's great about the TV movie. But the movie I've always wanted to talk about on the podcast, we're talking about TV movies, is When a Stranger Calls Back.
Ooh.
The sequel to When a Stranger Calls. Now, When a Stranger Calls, classic, amazing. It's kind of like the birth of the call's coming from inside the house.
I think. And it's not Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. But the sequel, I'm telling you, like we may talk about it on the podcast. I don't know. If you want to wait, you go ahead and wait. But boy, is that movie crazy. We should do it as a watch party movie, maybe, if we're not going to do it on the podcast. I know
maybe
we've
sort of
slipped out of talking about Summer of Fear, and now we're just like having a meeting about future episodes of the podcast.
We do Night of the Scarecrow with Stranger Calls Back.
Well, we probably shouldn't put this on wax. We're making promises we can't keep.
Well, let's write it down.
So, Kim, how would you rate Summer of Fear?
I had fun with it, and I love a good TV movie. I love horse girl horror.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it a 3 out of 4.
3 out of 4. That's a Kim rating.
Yeah.
It
was a fine and dandy film.
I'm going to give it a 2.5. It's a summer movie. If I watched this in the dead of winter, that rating would definitely go down. So clearly it's got a summer bump.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, there's not enough plot to hold an hour and a half, but there's nice little commercial breaks.
Yeah, those are always a treat. I forgot to mention this at the top of the episode, but I thought you might like to know this. It doesn't matter too much for when this episode is going to come out, but did you know that we are recording this episode purely by coincidence on Wes Craven's birthday?
I saw that.
August
2nd. From our own Twitter.
Me as well. Yes, August 2nd, Wes Craven's birthday, the day that we're recording this. Did not plan that, did not intend it. Honestly, should have recorded this episode 6 weeks ago. We're way behind.
Yeah, we have nothing banked.
We're mainline in the universe right now. We had to wait. It's the ghost of Wes tapping us on the shoulder like, you guys gotta get back to work.
Y'all want to watch one of my TV films?
Yeah, one of my classics.
Not like A Nightmare on Elm Street or Scream or something.
You didn't just buy People Under the Stairs on VHS. Like, why don't you watch one of my junkier, lesser known ones?
We were like, we will, Wes, in your honor.
Anyway, that's going to do it for us this week. Nightmare on Film Street, thank you so much for listening. Please let us know what you thought of Summer of Fear, or honestly, just what your favorite Wes Craven movies are. We're big fans. Hit us up on Twitter or Threads at Nightmare on Film Street and NOFS Podcast, respectively, on each of those. You can also talk to us in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at NOFSpodcast.com/Discord. Hang out, chat horror with your fellow fiends, and make some movie recommendations. We're always looking for cool stuff to watch.
And if you're a fan of the show, consider giving us a 5-star rating and review wherever you're listening to this. It really helps the show grow. And if you want even more Nightmare on Film Street content, you can consider supporting us on Patreon at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. We have a fun little fan club over there where we do monthly watch parties. We have a bonus series going on. We're talking about the Universal Monsters. We talk about new movies in the theaters, all kinds of bonus stuff there. That is at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub.
We'll be back again next week with another episode. But until then, I'm John.
I'm Kim.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive. But we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Get ready to scream, shiver, and maybe even lose a little sleep. It's time for Nightmare on Film Street's 31-Day Horror Challenge. 31 horror movies, 31 days, 31 chances to win a spooktastic prize pack to help keep Halloween alive 365.
This year's prize pack includes goodies from Nightmare on Film Street's new upcoming book, Cocktails from the Crypt, 4K remastered copies of Demons and Demons 2, a Stephen King Blu-ray box set, Spirit Halloween lunch boxes, pumpkin carving kits, Halloween CD soundtracks, including the long out-of-print Monsters Speak, Nightmare on Film Street sticker packs, and more.
The rules are simple. head over to nofspodcast.com/Halloween. Download the 31-Day Horror Challenge Movie Guide and post your Halloween watch list on social media using the hashtag 31-Day Horror Challenge to make this Halloween a night you'll never forget.
That's nofspodcast.com/Halloween and the hashtag 31-Day Horror Challenge.
What's your favorite scary cocktail?
If you've been searching for the perfect way to elevate your horror movie nights, look no further. Cocktails from the Crypt is here to satiate even the most bloodthirsty killers with a collection of chilling cocktail recipes. Created by us, your favorite podcasters and all-around weirdos, this horror movie cocktail recipe book is packed with movie trivia, cocktail tips, and hair-raising drinks crafted to pair seamlessly with the most iconic movies the horror genre has to offer.
Cocktails from the Crypt features 60 sinister sips, each designed to transport you into the heart of your favorite horror films, including the Texas Chainsaw Margarita, Freddy's Boilermaker, and the Frankenstein Fizz.
Don't miss your chance to be among the first to own this ultimate horror movie night companion. Pre-order Cocktails from the Crypt now from your favorite retailer, like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Bookshop.org, Chapters Indigo, and Blackwell's. Or just head to nofspodcast.com/go for the links.
And don't forget to follow Nightmare on Film Street on social media for sneak peeks and behind-the-scenes glimpses from the making of Cocktails from the Crypt.
Join us!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.